Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Dennis Haney. As a teenager, Jeannie Francis shot to stardom on the soap opera General Hospital, where she played Laura Weber Spencer, half of the daytime super couple Luke and Laura. On the surface, it seemed like Jeannie had it all. But behind the scenes, this young actress was battling personal demons that led to drug addiction. Jeannie joins me today to talk about how her faith and her family got her through those difficult times and to discuss a new movie she starred in for the Hallmark Channel called The Note. I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Jeannie Francis. Jeannie, thanks so much for being here with us today.
It's my pleasure.
The Hallmark Channel movie, The Note, premieres Saturday, December 8th, and it has a very interesting premise. Can you talk for a few minutes about The Note?
Sure. Well, I play a journalist who came from the style section, and there's sort of a Dear Abby column, and the lady who writes that has passed away, and she gets the job. And it's a big promotion for her, but she tanks it, you know. She's not quite up to it. And not connected to her heart because she can't forgive herself for something she's done as a young woman. And she's about to be fired when there's this plane crash and she's jogging along the beach. And amongst the debris, she finds in a plastic baggie a note. Just a very short note that was written by someone who knew they were about to die to a living relative. She feels absolutely compelled to get that note to the person it was meant for. And it changes her life. That takes her off on her journey, and it really changes her life.
It's interesting because the movie is about reconciliation.
Yes.
And we were kidding about the Irish background. You know, we forgive, but we never forget. Mm. Hallmark now has gone one step further and created a website in which they're encouraging people to write notes about reconciliation. Where do you think they're going to go with this? How are people going to really respond to reconciling when that's a very difficult thing for us to do?
It is. But I think the wonderful thing about this project is that it makes you question yourself. And there isn't much television out there that does that. You know, and this is wonderful to have something like this. You know, it's not just reconciliation. It's also, you know, the last words. What would you say if you had only a minute left? What would you say? It's a good question to ask yourself.
It's all part of the whole idea of inventory, which is an interesting segue. Jeannie Francis has been in the public eye for many, many years. But in the process, you've become very, very open about the hurdles and challenges that Jeannie had, starting as a teenager.
Oh, yes, starting right away. Yes, live TV at 14 years old is tough, you know, and I grew up very quickly, too quickly, and had a lot of problems. You know, I remember I was separated from my peer group because my grades dropped immediately as soon as I went to work, and I had previously been a straight-A student. So they put me into studio school, but that meant the end of my contact with my peer group in some sort of a normal life. And that, I think, was really the beginning of all my trouble.
It also included addictions.
Absolutely.
Challenges later on with self-image.
Oh, yes.
Because of weight.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something you see playing out with some of the young stars of today?
Absolutely. You know, when people fame should be thought of as a hard drug. And, you know, some people don't get fame until they're 50 years old, and it screws them up, you know. And at 50, one has really had a chance to form a self-image. So there is something there to begin with. But when it comes to you so early in life, I think you really get confused between, you know, what's you and what's the image. And unfortunately, too many people get impressed with the image and the money and the fame and forget about the person.
How did you reach out and find, or reach in, I guess, or reach deep to find out who Jeannie really was in this time?
No, it took years. It took years and years. And I think part of my reaching out was doing drugs. I think I was acting out, trying to get somebody to pay attention to me and see that I was drowning. In fact, I know that. I know that's what I was doing.
But at some point, you had to hit in addiction. They call it the rock bottom.
Yeah.
That desperation. What was that like as a young person to hit that rock bottom? And how did you ask for help in that period?
I asked for help from a lot of people. I knew right away, as soon as I tried, my drug of choice was cocaine. It was very popular in the late 70s, early 80s. And I knew I had a problem immediately. And the reason I chose to do what I did, because I was a good girl, I was the one who wasn't going to do that, was because I desperately wanted to fit in. And these people who I thought were the cool people, and, you know, I wanted to fit in with that crowd. And so I actually pretended that I did it. You know, I said, oh, yeah, sure, I do that too. Yeah, right. Count me in. Yeah. You know? And they did. And I knew immediately after the first little bit that I was in trouble.
Obviously, you learned some great lessons in this period on how to grow up. And it's always interesting to me to know what other people think about me, or in your case now, it's Jeannie Francis, because our producer, Tony Rossi, got a hold of Jonathan Jackson.
Oh, my gosh!
Who played your son on General Hospital.
Oh.
And Tony asked Jonathan what the experience was like. And I want to read something to you because...
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
Well, you can understand, and you deserve to hear these words. Jonathan wrote back to Tony, "It's hard to put into words what Jeannie's presence meant to me. I was 11 years old, and she, along with Tony, Anthony Geary, took me under her wing. I learned how to be completely vulnerable, emotionally connected to what was happening. She always told the truth in her eyes.
Aww.
Most of the time, I didn't have to perform. I simply had to listen, and I would get hit by whatever she was doing. It could be laughter or pain. I carry so much of her influence with me today. Jeannie was a gift from God."
Oh.
You know, it doesn't get much better than that, Jeannie.
Oh, it doesn't.
They talk about how kids can read us.
Mm.
And here's he was 11 years old at the time, Jonathan was, and he read you.
Yeah.
And you obviously reached out to him in a very, very special way.
Well, I wanted Jonathan to feel proud of himself. I wanted him to be respected by everyone as an actor. You know, I didn't want him to be treated like a child actor. And I wanted him to respect the craft and himself in it. And I tried really hard to pass that over to him. And he is an exceptional talent.
Well, he thinks you are, too, as an exceptional person. But one of the things that I noticed here with what Jonathan said was a unique ability to reach beyond Jonathan, the actor, and get to Jonathan, the person, and say, you know, acting is what you do. Jonathan is who you are. And that was, I mean, he says you did it.
Oh, you know, I used to keep juice boxes and cookies in my room for little Jonathan. And he used to carve things for me out of wood, and I still have them. Jonathan, in many ways, is like my first baby. And it was, I think, my experience working with him that made me realize how ready I was to be a mother. Because shortly after that, I got pregnant with my son, who is now 13.
You are a recent Daytime Emmy Award winner.
Mm-hmm.
After a lot of years in your craft, how did it feel to now have your name called out and say, Jeannie Francis?
It was wonderful. I was so nervous about, you know, they give you only 30 seconds and they start counting from when you stand up from your chair. And I was the first one up, and the producer had just been out of the booth saying, you only have 30 seconds, and if you don't finish in 30 seconds, I'm going to play that music and you're going to be embarrassed. And, you know, so actually, you know, all I could think of was hurry up, say thank you, and get off the stage. You know, my husband told me later that there was a standing ovation, which I hate to say it, but I didn't see it. I was watching that clock tick away, and, you know, I was being the good soldier. I was making a TV show. So later on, after it was all over, I think I was able to enjoy it. And then I loved at the very end, I just wanted to yell out to my friends in Belfast who were all sitting at Darby's, which is sort of like our local pub. And I just wanted to say hello to Belfast because that's where I wanted to be immediately once it was over.
Well, you talk about your husband, Jonathan, an accomplished actor and director in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
Two children now.
Yes, two.
And you leave the acting behind in another area, and you moved to Belfast, Maine, to open a shop.
Well, it didn't quite happen like that.
Well, it reads good when...
What happened was my husband, things fell apart for me at General Hospital. Mm-hmm. My husband got offered a film in England. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's go. You know, I mean, my job fell apart. What's holding us, you know? It sounded like a terrific adventure. And so we went off and we were in England for 3 years. When that ended, it was a wonderful experience. But when that ended, we went back to our country home on the coast of Maine, which had always been a constant for our children. And we were so happy and so comfortable there, we thought, well, you know, it's really now or never. Let's find out whether or not we can actually live here. There was nothing really calling us back to Los Angeles, no immediate work. And once you've broken that L.A. addiction, you know.
Yeah. Been there, realize, done that.
Yeah. I don't really necessarily have to live there. And, mm-hmm. you know, and it's such an aggressive place in so many ways. And it wears down on your soul.
Yeah. Tell us a little about the store.
Oh, the store is a home furnishings and gift store. And I guess my all-time favorite thing to do is to make a nest. I just love it. I love homemaking, except I'm not a very good cook. But my husband's a good cook, so that's good.
Everyone has their strength.
Yeah. Yes, their weaknesses. Jonathan is good in the kitchen, and I'm not. But, you know, it's my favorite thing to do, take a dirty old house and make it beautiful. I don't know why, but the older, the dirtier, the better, and I love to fix it. It's just my hobby, always has been. And I love antiques, and I'm in a part of the world that's filled with them. So that's my hobby, and I thought, at this stage in life, what can I do that will make me the most happy? And that was it.
Was it a challenge saying, I'm gonna try this now. I'm gonna go off in this direction.
Mm.
You said that, you know, General Hospital kind of went another direction, and
right.
Now you're a wife and a mother, and you're starting a whole new career in some ways.
Well, I'll tell you. I missed General Hospital mm-hmm. every single day of my life. I would wake up with an ache in the pit mm-hmm. of my stomach mm-hmm. at having been passed over by that show. And until I opened that store,
wow.
And I no longer woke up with that ache in my stomach, because the moving on was so important for me, that whether that business flies or not really isn't important. It helped me to move on. You know, to say, okay, I'm not gonna wallow in self-pity. You know, it fell apart. It's over. Now do something.
New purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Dennis Haney, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back to continue my conversation with Jeannie Francis in just a moment. But first, here's a message that the Christophers would like to share with you. During the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, it's easy to forget the real meaning of Christmas. That's why the Christophers have prepared a special news note called More Than a Holiday, Christmas is Christ. This news note shares stories about individuals who live out Christ's message of peace on earth and goodwill toward all. It also highlights ways that you and your family can celebrate the true meaning of the season. To request your free copy of More Than a Holiday, Christmas is Christ, visit our website at www.christophers.org. Or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Dennis Haney, and welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm visiting today with Emmy Award-winning actress Jeannie Francis about the blessings and the challenges that grew out of her role as Laura Spencer on General Hospital. Jeannie, you've been very candid not only about your drug addiction, but that your challenges with weight.
Mm-hmm.
And you speak of your poor self-image,
yes.
Which is, you know, as we sit here, that's hard to comprehend.
Oh, bless you.
Well, no, but truthfully, talk a little about how you found that self-image or improved that self-image. It was...
Self-image. Oh, dear. You know, it's an inside job, isn't it?
Yeah. It really, but it's like all of recovery. I mean,
absolutely.
It has to come through.
Yeah, putting one foot in front of the other. I don't know that my self-image will ever be, you know, where it ought to be. I wish I had more confidence. I wish I had more self-esteem. I've often joked that I'm the low self-esteem poster child. You know, it's part of my condition, you know. But I do the doing now. I put one foot in front of the other. I know that being overweight was making me very unhappy. And it's a changeable thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God intervened in my life by bringing me this Metafast deal, you know, because now I had a responsibility not only to myself, but to them. And it was a blessing. They're a lovely group of people. They are not driven by greed. They really do want to help people. And they have a wonderful network of support.
It's kind of neat in this day and age. You speak about God brought you there.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, an important element in the Jeannie Francis journey?
Huge, huge, huge. I pray every day of my mm-hmm. life, sometimes several times a day, depending on the day. I pray before every scene I do. I need that. And I think that's really the interesting thing about someone like Jonathan Jackson, going back to that, is that Jonathan comes from a family that has such a wonderful, strong faith, that there is an example of a young person, a child star, who came through it absolutely undamaged, unbruised, you know, just absolutely fine. And I think because that faith really supported that family.
That's interesting because... You look at Jonathan's journey, how important it is to you. And then I think all of us who raise children look and say, how do we inculcate that faith or the importance of faith in our own children? And that, I think, is a real challenge, especially in this day and age.
It's a real challenge. And I was raised Catholic, and I didn't have a bad Catholic experience. I'm happy to say it was fine for me. Part of that, though, was because of my mother, who really empowered me and said, you know, God also gave you a mind. You know, there are a lot of rules here. A lot of them are man-made. But you use your mind because that's what God wanted you to do. And it really empowered me in a wonderful way. So I've tried to do that with my own kids. They are doing catechism this year, much to my son's chagrin. But he's doing it. And I said, you know, all I'm asking is that you keep an open mind. Just, you know, give it a little try, you know. And then talking them in at night and teaching them their prayers, you know.
It's interesting with the catechism how when, at least in my own experience, when you're working with your kids and you're looking at their catechism and you say, no, that's not the way I learned it.
Right. We learned it in Latin.
And those kids are saying, don't mess with me. I've got to learn it like this, which
right.
is the whole other experience. You talk about the importance of your mom. Where did mom and dad form Jeannie? How did they steer you in a direction where they seemed to accept that you were going to stumble, but they were always there to kind of...
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that one of the most important things I got from my father was my love for the theater and a sense of deep respect for the profession and all those who work in it, and deep respect for storytelling. And it's, storytellers were the priests, mm-hmm. you know, and I believe it's incredibly important and a real blessing to be involved in that as a career. And I think a lot of people don't know that are in it.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
yeah. I think we go back to that point about self-image, you know, in some cases it's all about them.
Mm.
And they become the story. They become their own image.
Exactly, which is so wrong, you know.
It's easy to get sucked into that, though, I think, for them. And so
it really is, yeah.
You kind of want to step back and say, you know, mm-hmm. I understand how that can happen to you. I mean, I don't understand because I've not had that kind of fame. But, I mean, mm-hmm. I can understand how that can happen. Now, how do we help it kind of turn you around a little bit?
Right. Well, I think one of the things that's really helped me to overcome so many things, social anxiety and stage fright, all of it is to ask God to take my fear away so that I can be of service. And I believe that what I do is a service and often can touch people and can affect lives. And I want to be able to do that.
Need perspective. Because as I read and hear from people who are involved with the note, that is almost a life's lesson taught about reconciliation, about how I'm going to, what kind of image, if you will, am I going to leave? What kind of message am I going to leave for people? Did it impact you in the making of it? I mean, did you kind of get into
it? Absolutely. It made me ask so many questions. And I guess the biggest one for me was, you know, how I still struggle with forgiving myself about leaving General Hospital the way I did as a young woman. I still struggle with it. I still am angry with myself for handling it the way I did. And it blocked me for many years. I couldn't forgive myself. But it wasn't just, that wasn't just happening in my head. I mean, I went from doing General Hospital to doing Bare Essence, and I remember going through North Carolina at the Azalea Festival in an open car with a sign on it that said Bare Essence, and throngs of people standing on either side screaming at me, go back to General Hospital.
Interesting.
And having the crowds go from applauding you and loving you to screaming at you, you know, just a few years later. You know, it did put it in perspective for me, you know.
Maybe not the best perspective, though.
No, it was tough to be young. Yeah, it was tough. But I also remember seeing a fan come undone at Atlantic City, and she was shaking, and I stopped my limo, and I got out, and I hugged her, and she wouldn't hug me back.
Really?
She wouldn't hug me back. And I realized this really isn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
This is about her hopes and her dreams and her needing attention. And, you know, this really isn't about me. And it began to, you know, I began to separate then, you know, how much power do I have? How much these people really need me? And, you know.
And how much is it about Laura as opposed to Jeannie?
Right. Yes. Well, I work very personally. So any character I play, I bring, you know, myself, some part of myself to it. Laura was really all of my vulnerability, you know, and other characters, you focus on other parts of yourself.
But in a very positive sense, isn't it, doesn't it feel good that people take your character so much into their own heart?
Yes, it does.
I mean,
it really
if
does.
If they're screaming at you in the Azalea Festival, I mean, that's gotta feel kind of like, wow, this is kind of neat.
Yeah, well, that didn't feel neat, I must say.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, they're reflecting back. They like Jeannie as Laura. Sorry that you're not Laura anymore, but...
Right, yes. Yes, I know what you mean. I feel very blessed. I can go anywhere in our country and get a nice, warm smile of recognition. Anywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's been an amazing experience as I have talked to people in our office and in other environments and saying, you know, I'm going to interview Jeannie Francis, and the recognition is there in a bullet second. I mean, it is awesome, and it just, you are. I mean, that's quite the recognition to carry through your life, and I suppose in some ways it's its own challenge, too.
I think I worry about it sometimes for my children. You know, I worry how being the son or daughter of will affect them. I think that's part of why I like being in Maine, because it's so low-key there. And many of the people who moved up there wanted to get away from something, you know? And
yeah.
And they all wanted privacy, and they really give it to us.
They
do, you
really
know what I mean?
Do.
They respect us. They do not mess with us. You know, they let us muck in and be one of them.
That is great. And it must be great for the kids.
It is.
And then think about your own L.A. childhood as a daughter in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
That has got to be kind of a yin and yang in that, when you look at that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was so, so proud of my father, and I loved watching him get recognized. And I think initially I wanted to be in the business because I wanted to be recognized, too. I mean, it wasn't a love of craft as much as it was a need for attention.
let's go full circle back to the note and kind of finish off there. You've said in other interviews that you've struggled, and we talked about it now, with forgiving yourself for some of the choices you've made.
Mm-hmm.
Really a challenge. Is the movie helping you make another step forward in that kind of...
Oh, absolutely.
Is it?
Absolutely. You know, it gives me the chance to make amends in a public way, to tell people how sorry I am that I disappointed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also the older I get and the more I look at a person who's 18 and 19 years old, the more forgiveness I have, you know, for myself at that time. But I really did stop my own ride.
Yeah. But you know what? You just have such a beautiful, positive message. And just as long as Jeannie Francis is Jeannie Francis, I mean, you're helping a lot of people probably look at themselves, maybe even come forward with their own reconciliation.
I certainly hope so, because what else is this all for?
You wonder? Yeah. But if you can be yourself and be that kind of messenger, then in the Christophers, we say it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And to always kind of keep that positive message going forward. Good luck with The Note on the Hallmark Channel on December 8th. And good luck with the catechism classes.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Jeannie, so much. God bless.
You too.
Before moving on, I want to tell you about the free Christopher News Note, All God's Children. Religion is sometimes used as a source of division between people, but it's important to remember that no matter what our faith or how we pray, we are connected through our creation by God, who loves us and wants us to love one another. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called All God's Children, Respecting the Religious Beliefs of Others. It highlights stories about staying true to our own faith traditions while being tolerant of others. To request your free copy of All God's Children, visit our website at www.christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you. In closing, thank you all for joining us today, and I encourage you to visit our website at www.christophers.org. You can learn more about the Christophers and download our free literature and podcasts. While you're there, send us an email to share your thoughts or your personal story of making a difference. The producer of today's show is Tony Rossi. Our engineer is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Dennis Haney. Thanks again for joining us, and remember, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.